It is a savage time in a savage land. In the midst of a grand victory feast, Conan the Barbarian reflects back on the battle that was. 1,000 men must have perished, a few hundred by his hand alone. But now is not the time for reflection. Now is the time to prepare tomorrow's conquest. It is then that a lone figure stands before him, seemingly from nowhere. Conan looks up to see Lion-O, Lord of the Thundercats, before him.
Today you destroyed my neighbor. It stands likely that my people will be tomorrow.
Conan nodded.
This is why I must end this war before it begins.
Lion-O draws his Sword of Omens, and without a word, Conan draws his weapons, and this war will be decided now. It's the Thundarian versus the Sumerian. It's the Lord versus the King. It's Lion-O versus Conan today on Who Would Win.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stakanis. We've got the barbarian that started it all in Conan versus the iconic 80s after-school cartoon powerhouse, Lion-O. Ray, why does this matchup seem like something that should have been debated millions of times, but really hasn't?
I have no idea. Like, this is such an obvious matchup, and it was suggested by somebody off of our Facebook group a few weeks ago. And like usual, it didn't fit what we were looking for in the moment, but my goodness, it fits what we're looking for right now. You get two iconic swordsmen, both of a similar, you know, both kind of popular in the 80s, we'll say. And I can't believe this matchup has not really been done, because it needs to be done, and we will do it.
Look, you know, we've got a really active following on social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And, you know, we have a lot of suggestions for matchups. In fact, we ask our audience, who do you want to see? Hey, what about this person? Or who should face whomever in a live show? I believe it was Jeremy Fields on our Facebook group, the Who Would Win Show Facebook group, that suggested this matchup. And I remember when that was suggested, the entire Who Would Win team, one of the few times that Ray and I actually saw eye to eye, and we all looked at it and said, yes. Ray, how did you feel when you saw that matchup being suggested?
Yeah, it sinked in. And I'm so used to being disappointed by our fans. As much as I get disappointed by the judges on this show, I am well more disappointed in the lack of creativity of our fans. Now, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a hint. When we ask for matchups on the social medias, on the Facebook, on the Twitter, Instagram, wherever the heck we're doing it, what we are not looking for is a suggestion of one character who is almost identical to the one that we already suggested. So, you know, in a recent battle, we had Beast. So we suggested Beast, and all of a sudden, all these people, oh, you got to do Blanca. Oh, you got to do Panthro. I mean, it was every animalistic or blue character that could, every single one under the sun got suggested, and they were all terrible suggestions. We want good, even matchups. We want a show. And that's why when this one clicked and it worked, it was a pleasant surprise.
Wow. Okay. I'm actually going the other way. I love these matchups. I love when our audience suggests it because it shows they want to be part of the show. You know, I don't actually think Blanca versus Beast is a bad matchup, right?
It's a terrible matchup. It's terrible. Just terrible. Just
like I said,
you should be ashamed of yourself, people who suggested it. Thank you for listening to the show.
I love it. All right. Look, we got Conan. We've got Lion-O. This is another crazy good matchup. And when you have such a crazy good matchup, you need a judge who's also crazy good. So coming back for a second time on the Who Would Win show, it's the host of the Part of Your Complete Breakfast show on Twitch. It's the one, it's the only, Eve Esquire. Eve, thank you for coming back onto the show.
Thank you, James. Also, Ray, you're already 2 points down. That was a terrible Larry Canyon impersonation at the top. Also, really? Really, the judges are terrible? Ray.
The judges are often terrible. I mean, look, Eve, you've got my ultimate fate in your hands today, but last time you were here, you made a bad decision because I did not win.
Great decision? I used heart, and that is the only weapon I know how to use exclusively.
Yeah, okay. You and Beta Ray Bill, so that's fine. That's fine.
All right, just to kind of remind our audience, Eve, you were on our show last time doing debating a really interesting battle of Kamala Khan versus Lady Shiva, which was a really tricky battle. I think that was a really great matchup, by the way. And it all came down to heart. You broke it down. One of the things that's so interesting about you, Eve, is on top of everything else, you come in so prepared for this battle. You may be that judge who's better prepared with more knowledge than either Ray or I would have for these characters. How do you do it? Why do you do it? Why is this an Eve trademark type of thing?
Well, I learned how to write doing fanfic. And if you want to have the best fanfic, you need to know your history. You need to know what makes people work. You need to know why characters work against other characters and why they don't. So I was the girl in the stacks in the comic book store trying to find old issues of the Champions so I can find out more information about Bobby Drake, the Iceman.
Ugh, a terrible character Iceman is. That character, he is one of the most overrated, ridiculously terrible. Don't get me started on Iceman. You already did. He's a clod. He's a real clod.
You are now at -3, Ray. We haven't even started.
Ray, he's an Omega-level mutant. He's an Omega-level mutant. He's one of those powerful... Okay, I don't even want to get started on this.
He's a joke, is what he is.
What he is a very complex character who comes from a background who is both Catholic and Jewish, though it's never really touched on. J.M. DeMatt has created one of the greatest miniseries that gave him a lot of interesting backstory that was also very promptly ignored by all future writers. Also, Sienegrist did a triumphant return to his roots, acknowledging his Champions background and Spider-Man and his amazing friends, and did a hero's job of actually making his spontaneous gayness make sense and further make me love the character more.
And all of that is great. If he didn't walk around pretending to be an Omega-level mutant, something that he is clearly not, then I would probably have no problem with him.
Ray also doesn't believe in science. That's great.
That's -4. God. Oh my gosh. You don't just walk into a room and introduce yourself and say, "Hey, my name's Ray Stakanis. By the way, I'm an Omega-level mutant. You're welcome." That doesn't happen. You're given that label if you demonstrate that level of power.
I don't walk into a room and introduce myself ever, because wherever I go, people know who I am.
And then leave. So with that being said, it's about that time. Ray, I'm really looking forward to today's matchup, especially since we have Eve Esquire, the judge of all judges. Please do us the honors. I'm just going to say it and announce today's matchup.
Yes.
Oh, I thought I got the honors. I was excited.
Oh, I mean, if you've written something.
Well, I don't know, Ray. I'm not used to hearing your name and the word honor in the same sentence. So, but go ahead. Go ahead, Ray.
It's fair. No, you're not wrong. Representing Rankin Bass Productions, the Thundercat you can't take on his word because he's always lying. Lion-O. And representing Marvel Comics, the barbarian who doesn't just look good, he's brutiful. Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, God, -6.
Usually this is where I say, well done, Ray. I can't this time. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Now, rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. Ray, what version of Conan are you going with?
I'm going with the Marvel comic books version of Conan. I thought about doing the movie, but Lion-O's tough, and I'm not going to take Lion-O for granted. At first, I thought, well, I got this in the bag. Then I actually read about Lion-O, and I said, oh, I have work to do. So we're going with the comic book version.
See, by doing
Ray.
That...
Ray.
Why do you take exception with that, Eve?
I recall a conversation earlier where I asked you specifically which version of Conan will we be doing, as there are vast and many. And you said, probably the movie.
Interesting. Interesting. I probably meant the talk show host.
I actually asked that to clarify because I got very excited.
Gosh. It's actually Conan O'Brien's character.
In Marvel Comics.
In Marvel Comics. It's pretty fantastic, yeah.
Oh, great. Well, that's definitely the 616 universe. I'm good.
Okay, we're good then.
We'll get there. All right. Now, there are many versions of Lion-O. Lion-O's appeared a number of times in DC Comics and other crossover events and what have you. But when you debate a character like Lion-O, you got to go back to what, you know, the source material, the essence of what made him great. So I'm representing Lion-O from the 80s iconic cartoon series. So,
James, I'm so proud of your growth.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to, he may have appeared in Marvel 616. He was definitely in the DC universe, but you got to go 80s iconic version. Also because he's really probably the most powerful in that. Rule number four, the winner of the who would win debate is whoever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. Rule number five, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. And finally, rule number six, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity, or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. And now, let's get to the tale of tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of tape is brought to you by the official Who Would Win store. Get your official Who Would Win t-shirts, mugs, merchandise by going to whowouldwinshow.com. And clicking on the merch section. By the way, please send us, as I mentioned before, a pic of you with your official Who Would Win shirts or merchandise so we can post it all over our social media accounts. And by the way, for the second week in a row, or another time I should say, Ray, we're being sponsored by Digital Sky, the anthology series that's scripted by the one and the only Scott Zacharin, who also writes and directs, and by the way, was a judge on our show right before I think Eve Esquire came onto the show for the first time, oddly enough. Crazy, right? Go ahead. It's an amazing podcast. Listen to it on YouTube, oddly enough. Subscribe to YouTube. Just check out Digital Sky on YouTube, and you'll see all the magic. So with that said, Ray, please give us the details on Conan.
Conan is a barbarian warrior who was literally born in battle. He was created by Rob E. Howard and first appeared in Weird Tales back in 1932. Conan is a brutal yet wise man who leads his people in the land of Samaria. Conan is a mighty and fearsome warrior who battles armies, monsters, large animals, and everything else, literally, that he comes across. Due to the character slipping into the public domain, there have actually been several outlets who have claimed ownership over the character of Conan. But the version that really got his popularity to take off was his stint with Marvel Comics back in the 1970s. It was based on that version that we got all the other future iterations, including the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie version. Fun fact, because Conan author Rob E. Howard was a friend and colleague of H.P. Lovecraft, often the worlds of Conan and Cthulhu coexisted together. In fact, both authors made a point to include references to the other's work in their own, so it can be well argued that the worlds of Conan and Cthulhu take place in the same universe. Now, there is a follow-up fight that I am now dying to see. And that is Conan.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. It's wild. And a lot of this, a lot of it was his first drafts of things. And then as people sort of just like published his work and they sort of like made edits and made cuts of their own from the original manuscripts, a lot of those references got taken out, but they are in there.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty amazing. Okay. Here are the details for Lion-O. Now, Lion-O, the protagonist of the iconic 80s cartoon, The Thundercats, was created by Tobin Wolf and first appeared in 1985. Lion-O was only a young boy of 12 years when he was forced to flee his home planet of Thundera and leave everything behind. As the imminent destruction of Thundera drew near, Jaga, the wise, gathered all the Thundercats, including Lion-O, and they escaped the planet in the royal flagship just moments before Thundera exploded. On board the ship, Jaga teaches Lion-O all about the code of Thundera, as well as the legendary Sword of Omens and the Eye of Thundera contained within it. During the flagship's long journey to Third Earth, Jaga instructs all the Thundercats to enter into the suspension capsules to slow down their aging process. Due to a malfunction, however, by the time the flagship reaches Third Earth, a span of 10 galacto years, whatever that is, Lion-O had physically grown into an adult. Having missed the entire growing process of going from childhood to adulthood, Lion-O slowly obtains knowledge and wisdom from the other Thundercats and his allies and friends during the course of the Thundercats' adventures while battling the evil mutants and Mum-Ra, the ever-living. And here's an interesting fact about Lion-O. Did you know that Lion-O's original name was supposed to be, wait for it, Lionel? Like Lionel Richie Lionel? It's true. Yeah. Well, Thundercats creator Tobin Wolf wanted to originally call Lion-O Lionel, as in Lion-L. The producers and head writer Leonard Starr didn't go with the idea. Lionel wasn't bad, they said, but there was another big toy franchise at the time called Lionel Trains, and nobody from the Thundercats production team wanted confusion between the two. Because Ray and Eve, let's face it, how often have we confused train toys for kids for humanoid cat action figures with weapons?
I mean, roughly every day.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a dollar. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Eve, do you have any questions before we get started?
Yeah. Did this man who opposed the name of Lionel, was he at all enthusiastic about a character named Snarf?
Snarf, I believe, intended to be a verb based off something they did. I mean, this is some weird stuff we're getting into. So the answer is I don't know.
Okay, because if he was pro-Snarf and pro this name change, that would call into question the leadership of this show.
That's true.
Just asking.
That's true. This is why you're the preeminent judge of who would win. All right, Ray, please proceed with your first point.
Let's just talk about Conan the Barbarian. When we open up talking about Conan, we have to talk about the great strength of Conan. Like, look, this needs to be the starting point of the battle. Conan is redonkulously strong. He is a barbarian warrior who literally, as I said in the intro, was born into battle and exists in battle and battles and fights and takes over his tribe and then fights other tribes and fights everything else. So let's talk a little bit about the strength of Conan. First off, you know what a siege tower is. Now, in the ancient times, they had the big castle walls, and a siege tower was like a several stories high contraption on wheels that they would wheel up to the walls and then allow people to take a ladder and then walk over the walls so they wouldn't need to go through the front door of the castle. Brilliant. Siege tower. Beautiful. Conan walked over and yanked one over. He just yanked it down. That is the equivalent of yanking over, say, like a 3 or 4 story building. He just walks over and pulls it, and the thing falls right over. Again, he's been attempted to be chained up. It's this time period. People are going to get chained up all the time. Yeah, he just rips the chains out of the wall. He breaks the chains apart from each other. And anybody who can break chains is officially very strong in my book. Those are designed to not do that. Not just that. He's been shown numerically to lift 12 tons, which is pretty solid for a character that isn't necessarily like a superhero kind of a character. 12 tons, pretty darn good. He's also, let's see here, he's also picked up a spear, which was more like a giant, like a bolt from a bolt thrower. You know what those things are? Well, he went ahead and picked one up. So it's like several, like 6 feet long, very, very large. He picked it up and threw it like it was a spear. And he took out a cyclops in one shot, a cyclops being a gargantuan monster type creature. As well, it took 10 men to lift one of these bolts, 10 barbarian men to lift any one of these bolts. And he would just pick it up by himself and walk around with it like it was absolutely no big deal. You guys see where I'm kind of go here. If he gets a shot in on Lion-O, Lion-O might be out for the count after just one shot. Also, fighting animals, not a big deal for Conan. Now, Lion-O got the reflexes of a cat. He's got all of the magic that goes with that. Well, here are some of the animals that Conan just fights on the reg. He's fought a rhino. He's fought a panther. He fought a shark in the water. He fought a freaking dinosaur. Yeah, Conan fought dinosaurs and was one-shotting them one after another. And maybe my favorite example of horrible animal abuse that Conan has done is an enemy was attacking him on a horse, so he just reached down and flipped the horse over. Like he would flip over a table in a game of Monopoly gone wrong. He just did that to a horse. These are some strength feats. There's a lot more, but those are my favorite ones. And that is my point number one.
Okay, this is troubling. Quick question. What kind of dinosaur specifically did Conan proceed to knock out? Or what kind of dinosaurs? Are we talking like velociraptors, brontosaurus? I mean, dinosaurs range in size.
You're not wrong. I would say from looking at the pictures, and I actually pulled another one up just as you started to answer that question, or ask that question, is it's a nondescript dinosaur, but I would say it is roughly in size to a T-Rex.
Okay.
Yeah, but is it a T-Rex?
It's not. It's a big green looking thing. It very clearly is not a Tyrannosaurus Rex, at least not the way it was drawn, but it is seems to be about that size and that power, maybe without the jaws.
I mean, it's impressive. That's impressive. And what kind of
you're like one-shotting a dinosaur is no big deal. Please.
Well, it's not a T-Rex, so.
Exactly. And what kind
of
shark?
I don't think they had the rights to use a T-Rex.
No, point of order. Savage Land was out at that time for the X-Men. So yes, they had rights to a T-Rex because Cyclops realized he loved Jean Grey when he saw her in the clutches of a T-Rex in the Savage Land. Sorry, Ray.
I mean, here's the deal. That's fine. For whatever reason, the artist of this particular one chose to draw a big T-Rex-esque green dinosaur.
Look, I can't. Here's the thing. I actually think Conan is superhumanly strong, right? If you took Conan and put him into regular Marvel 616 universe where he is now, he'd be listed at with superhuman strength, probably in superhuman durability. And lifting 12 tons, I think that's high, but I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. I'm actually going with all of this. Could he swim in the water and knock out a shark or kill a shark? This is Conan. This could be one of the first mutants in Marvel. Who knows? I do think he's that powerful, but let me juxtapose that with what Lionel brings to the table with his powers and abilities. So, okay, Lionel, we know he's the Lord of the Thundercats, which means on top of being their leader, he has incredible physical abilities that have to go with that title. So for example, Lionel is also superhumanly strong, probably able to lift about 50 tons if I were to take a guess based off things he's moved and feats he's got, which I'll explain. He's super fast and can run up to 120 miles per hour. On top of being super fast, he's super agile and has superhuman reflexes, and he's also superhumanly durable. However, he's also received a great deal of training from Panthro, who's like the Thundercats' resident expert fighter and tech genius. So let's put all this together and see some of the impressive feats that Lionel has done. So Lionel is strong enough to easily rip a tree out of the ground and to throw it like a spear. He was strong enough to hold onto ropes, holding a large spaceship in place as it was trying to leave the atmosphere. He actually held it in place and was so strong the ship couldn't leave the planet like once it was airborne. Again, I'm not sure how that works. It just happened. He was also able to somehow hold the planet of Third Earth together due to the Sword of Omens giving him increased strength, or maybe it was just some cartoon magic due to it being the 1980s. One or the other, it still counts. More on that later. He has panoramic vision due to him being feline in nature, which means that he can literally see something coming at him from a mile away. His sense of hearing is also superhuman. His super speed, this is kind of crazy, enabled him to beat Chitara in a 5-mile race. And that was really new to me because Chitara is known for being the speedster of the Thundercats. In terms of durability, he easily survived, again, 1980s cartoon magic. He easily survived going into the molten core of the planet and also easily survived being in the vacuum of space. When you add all of this together, you quickly see why Lionel has beaten, as in literally physically beaten, pretty much any opponent who challenged him. And that includes his main nemesis, Mum-Ra, the Skeletor equivalent of the Thundercats. That's my point number one.
And there's a lot of good stuff in there. I'm wondering what you're leaving on the table, because that was a heck of a lot of power. And this is exactly what I read that made me go, I need the comic book version of Conan. There's no arguing. Lion-O is strong, definitely not in Conan's strength category, I would definitely say. He is very fast, though. I would say he is faster than Conan, but all Conan's got to do is land that one shot. And he has fought armies before. He's fought people who are fast before. You know, he's fought all these wild animals who move very, very quickly. So while Lionel will be a challenge, do not get me wrong, Conan just got to get a hold of him. And as soon as Conan gets a grab, it's going to be lights out for Lionel. So I actually don't have a lot to dispute over point number one. That all lines up pretty well to where I was expecting James to go in his points 1, 2, and 3. So I'm a little nervous about where you're going forward.
That's incredible that we're actually on the same page with this. Normally I'm used to you tearing my points apart, which kind of scares me because I was ready for that, but we didn't get it. Eve, what do you think about our mutual points number one?
Number one, when you said at the top of the show that this is one of the better matched conquests, I fully agree given their past histories and their future destinies and where they wind up. But Ray, did you just like thoroughly discount movie Conan, who actually had Grace Jones as a sidekick at one point?
Discount? Absolutely not. But I am not using him for the purposes of this battle. He did not have nearly the feats of comic book Conan.
Grace Jones is like 10,000 feats. I don't know if you know
cool.
That, right?
No outside interference, Eve. You know the rules by now.
I know. I'm just saying. I may take that a little personally. My pen may slip. I'm already writing notes like crazy about it already.
I love it. Okay, by the way, having Grace Jones as a sidekick, like I that always kind of made me question it. I mean, that to me is the power of Conan, when he can have a sidekick who's like way more powerful than Conan, right? That's like Batman saying, here's Superman as my sidekick, and I'm done. You know what I mean? Like just whatever. It's all good. All right, Ray, hit us with your point number two, please.
No, point number two, let's talk for a moment about the endurance of Conan, because we've talked about his ability to dish out power. And like I say, all he's got to do is get one good hit on Lion-O and this battle goes in another direction. But let's talk about how much damage that he could also take from Lion-O, because Lion-O's going to get in his shots. He's very, very fast. When you're facing a speedster, you need endurance or you're going to get overwhelmed very, very quickly. So one of the things that really was remarkable to me is Conan's ability to take damage to the head. He has a very head-based endurance that people have shattered planks over his head. He's taken a morning star to the head. He's taken a mace to the head, flail, scimitar. And each one of those bounced right off of his skull. And each time he no-sold it, like he was the Undertaker in a WrestleMania match, he absolutely will take it. he'll kind of like shake his head slightly and say, I'm ready to keep on fighting. So I don't know if he's just the most concussed hero in the history of comic books, or his skull is just so thick. It's like permanent armor, and he's not physically able to take damage. But I've never seen a man in all of my research here take so many shots to the head and just walk away as if it was no problem at all. So if Lion-O goes for that punch to the skull, which in an 80s cartoon character, that's pretty much the main mode of attack most of the time, is punches to the noggin. We've seen it a million times in all kinds of different 80s cartoon shows, Transformers included. That's not going to work on Conan. He's going to be able to take that and be absolutely no problem with it. Additionally, you know, we talk about sword. I had to find some sword matchups because I do understand that the Sword of Omens is an absolutely fantastic weapon. So Conan fought somebody named Meldark, and he was a powerful sorcerer, if I'm remembering this correctly. And Meldark had a sword, and he's fighting Conan, and Conan's parrying, and Conan's doing the sword fight the whole time. But the sword that Meldark was using was a magic sword that drained your endurance as you fought with it. So while Conan is doing well in the matchup, and Conan is able to, you know, take all of these shots and parry and block them all, every time he parries one, it like magically drains his endurance as the battle's going. Well, Conan was able to win that battle, and Conan was able to overcome not just a very skilled swordsman, but a very skilled swordsman who zapped energy every time you parried his shots. So facing off against a magic sword like Lion-O has, without that kind of a power, given his intense endurance that Conan has, I have to believe he's going to be able to hang with Lion-O if it does come down to a sword fight. Although I do believe at the end of the day, it's going to be fisticuffs. Some more examples of his great endurance is he's able to withstand a lot of poison, cold, and heat, as well as dragon's breath. These things don't really affect him a whole heck of a lot. He's kind of got that super endurance that he can kind of push his way through a lot of that stuff. And the last thing I want to leave you with here is one of my favorite things, and this is just a storyline in Conan, but it really represents kind of what this character's all about. In one of the issues of Conan, he swam 90 miles. That's his start. He swims 90 miles through the ocean, at which point he gets to his destination and then immediately pops out of the water and starts fighting an entire brigade of pirates. This is who Conan is. You've heard the phrase, I can do this all day, maybe from some very famous movies that have come out fairly recently. Conan is literally a character who can do this all day. And while I have great respect for the speed and the technique and the magic of Lion-O, I do not think he has the endurance to hang in the kind of match this is going to be. And Conan does. And that is my point number two.
You know, so this is interesting. He does take a lot of headshots. So I got to wonder. Yeah, a lot. So here's the thing, right? Like with a boxer, sheer he can only take so many headshots before, you know, they do get concussed. And every headshot you take and withstand actually lowers your resistance or ability to take a headshot in the future, which means the more headshots you take, it might take a little while, you'll get weaker and more susceptible to headshots. You won't be able to take them as well.
I don't know about that because he's taken 90 years worth of headshots at this point, and he's still going fine.
That's a lot of headshots. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. So Conan fought Meldark. Who came up with the name Meldark?
I assume somebody named Mel, who did not enjoy the light.
That's what I thought too. Interesting name. And Dragon's Breath, just so I understand that. Is that like poison breath? Or is that fire?
It's like fire. Yeah.
Okay. And when he fights a brigade of pirates, not all pirates are created equal. How strong are these pirates?
We're not talking about like Peter Pan's crew. We're talking about, you know, hardy pirates, you know, warriors of the sea.
Got it. Okay. So all like if you took one of those pirates by themselves, they're probably still, you know, badass in their own way, right? So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I would say that pirates by themselves, as far as comparing them against other like warriors of history, probably don't match up to samurai. Sorry, whatever they figured out on Deadliest Warriors, because they have guns. That's fine. But the pirates, you know, they're out at sea. They do physical work all day long. And at the end of the day, they see their friends and they're out on the sea for days, if not weeks at a time. They're ready to fight when they get into fights. So you're never going to find a group of people more excited to fight then you will find pirates.
Okay, fair enough. No social distancing, but a lack of scurvy, which is good.
Correct.
Okay, also, good. Fair neg on the Peter Pan pirates. Fair neg.
Fair. It's fair.
Okay.
I only work in the world of fair.
That's good. Of course, that's a Race to Canis trademark right there.
That is a lie, but I'll give it to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to be positive. All right, let me go with my point number two, because that was an impressive point number two on your part, Ray.
Oh, I know.
Okay, let me just get right to it. You knew what I was going to bring this up. So let's talk about the legendary weapons of Lino. And of course, when you do that, you got to talk about the iconic Sword of Omens. So Conan is known for being a master swordsman, right? I give him that. So you can't take anything away from that department. But has he ever had a sword that matched the Sword of Omens and what it could do? So for example, although not indestructible, the sword still is extremely durable. And the Sword of Omens starts off as a dagger that he carries around and then grows to the length of a sword and can grow even much larger than that. It can create super powerful force fields. And just like Thor's hammer Mjolnir, it can be thrown and then summoned from a distance where it'll just come right back to him. The sword can shoot lightning, fire, lasers, and even a tractor beam, 1980s magic. It can cut through almost everything. And with it, Lino is an expert swordsman. Now, let me just make something really, really clear. Even though I believe Lino absolutely is an expert swordsman, I will give the nod to Conan slightly in terms of being superior in that department. So here's how Lino would overcome all of that. He would use the sword to give him, wait for it, sight beyond sight. And this is where Lino uses that Sword of Omens. He puts it to his face, curls around his eyes, and uses it to survey like events across time and space and get warnings of danger that's about to come. In other words, the sword may be able to provide insight into, you know, the danger Conan represents, as well as how to possibly defeat him. But there's more. Lino also has the claw shield. Remember that? That sheathes the Sword of Omens. And the claw shield is super durable, has four grappling hooks that can also tie up an opponent, has a smoke screen, and it gives Lino increased punching power due to its durability. So, you know, with the Sword of Omens and the claw shield that Lino also knows how to use like an expert, it becomes pretty obvious that Conan may be very well overmatched for the first time. And that's my point number two.
And that's fantastic. Like, look, Lion-O's got better weapons than Conan. Now, I would argue that Conan has a better repertoire of weapons because he's been able to pick up and use everything around him. Like I said, he pulls bolts out of a bolt thrower and throws it through Cyclopses who are like giant people. Like, and he does that very, very well. Now, one thing about the swordsman, and I actually agree with you. I think Conan is a little bit better swordsman than Lion-O, but that's not to say that Lion-O is a slouch in any stretch of the imagination. But it's funny that you said there was actually a moment where Conan fought a guy with a very magical glove, which actually looked and sort of acted a lot like Lion-O's glove. And I wish I had more information about it other than the few scans that I read. But essentially, he was able to take shots from this guy wearing this power glove, and he was able to get over on this guy as well, just through the sheer force of will, as well as his ability to take damage. The way I would counter some of this Lion-O stuff, because Lion-O has a very powerful magic sword, and that is his best thing he's got going for him. He is also very, very fast, but I don't want to pretend like sit here and say Conan isn't fast. He has what I refer to as combat speed, whereas he's been able to defeat characters who are established as being faster than the eye. He beat samurais. He's beaten animals. He's fought like giant monsters. And then the narrator says with blinding speed, he has done that. He has swung his sword up high and done X, Y, and Z. But additionally, because I know Lion-O can shoot magical beams, I have seen in the comic books Conan dodge magical beams being fired from powerful magical characters. So what I would just posit here is, while I think like in a foot race, it's not even a question, like maybe in an endurance race, I think Conan's got him. But in a foot race from, you know, if you're doing the 40-yard dash, Lion-O's going to win that every single time. But when it comes to combat speed and the ability to use that speed and fight, you got to go with Conan. And that's how he's going to get out, avoid the magic sword as much as possible.
I got to ask a question at this point. I'm sorry. Ray, did you just cite the power of dodging magical beams as a strength?
I mean, it's not a weakness.
I mean, that's like putting on your resume ability to illuminate the room using basic skills as like putting in a light bulb.
Ray's got a lot of basic skills on his resume.
That's I think Conan's resume is probably a little larger than mine. I would give him credit for that. And I've done a lot.
Don't sell yourself short, Ray. I mean, you know, illuminated a room. That's, you know, no, that's a fair point. But I mean, that kind of talks to Conan's fighting speed, right? Combat speed, which
I
is something
like that's basic superhero 101, can dodge magical beams. Good. I mean, if you cannot dodge a magical beam at like a basic level of having your own title, you should not have your own title.
And forgive me, the reason why I bring it up is because you think of Conan the Barbarian and you think more of the strength than the endurance feats. And the big reason I wanted to say that is because you might have the argument, maybe he doesn't see a magic beam from a sword coming and ergo would be defeated by it, perhaps. And I'm telling you right now, this is the sort of attack that he has had in his world before, and he's been able to get over it as well.
There's wizards in the world of Conan the Barbarian, so it's not
Here's
too
the
impressive
deal.
On me.
I know that, Eve, and you know that because we did research. The people at home might not.
Actually, I was in a sketch where I played a wizard in the world of Conan the Barbarian. Thank
is that
you.
Right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you beat
sketch.
Conan?
We beat him with our mockery because he had gained weight. This is a brilliant sketch by Daniel Emmons.
that's horrible.
Yeah. Also, fun.
That's so not nice. That's so not nice, but I'd love
it
to
was
see it
very sometime. Funny. Very funny. One more question, Ray, and this may be too early to ask, but I have to, otherwise I'm going to forget. Has Conan ever been to space?
Now, here's
this
the deal.
Like probable. But no,
it seems probable,
sure.
But I don't have a specific example to give you of having been to space.
All right.
Yeah, it's too bad you didn't use the animated Conan from the early 90s Conan.
Sure.
Because I think he did go to space.
And yeah, that was a post-apocalyptic show. That was a real...
Something was really off. Yeah, the early 90s had some real hits and some real misses. I'll leave it at that. Eve, you know, you've heard points from both of us. This is now where we kind of turn to you. We're at the turning point. So use your wisdom, use your insight. Tell us, who do you think is ahead and what does the other character have to do to pull out the win?
Well, Ray is like down by a negative point just for personality reasons at this point.
Sure.
The fact you don't know if Conan's been in space. I mean, you're up against a space character and like that's not the first thing you Google. Because like I'm sure Lionel has been on terrain. He knows how to deal with terrain. Does Conan know how to fight in space? This is basic.
Is this fight happening in space? Because most of Lion-O's adventures with the Thundercats happen on the planet. You're coming from a weird place right now, Eve. I'm not understanding
it. That's the only place I know where to come from, Ray.
I do understand that.
So that's where I'm at right now. That's where I'm at.
Okay, got it. That helps the audience a lot. Okay, Ray, I'm actually thinking this is closer than you know people may realize. I'm really interested in your point number three. Go ahead, hit that home run. What have you got?
You know, I've got a slight just amalgam of things over here because I have a few examples of good battles that Conan has won outside of the ones I've already mentioned. But I want to start with the intelligence of Conan because I would think that you might be tempted to underestimate the intelligence of Conan, but he's actually a very, very smart individual. He is known for speaking many, many different languages. He's really, really known for his ability to ride a horse, which you don't necessarily have to be very, very smart to do so, but you can't be animalistic and pull it off and be one of the best horse riders on earth, which he is. He also, and these are the crazy things that I've found into, he also has great knowledge of law and taxes. His underlings tried to trick him and they tried to pull one over on him as far as taxes go. And he was able to be like, actually, that doesn't add up. You're wrong. And I'm going to crush you now. And additionally, he was able to argue in a court of law. So the big reason is that a lot of these, they aren't necessarily battle specific, or he's not going to have, you know, he's not going to face against Perry Mason in a who would win battle. But the point is, if you come into the battle thinking Conan is going to be outsmarted or he's going to be fooled or tricked, he is not a kind of character that is going to be tricked into doing something dumb, because that is just not who he is. So I want to just kind of like go up against that potential viewpoint right away. Another thing is he's a thoughtful character. You know, he had a character where somebody's kind of flippantly asked him if he ever thinks about rice, the food rice. And his response, which blew the guy away, was there have been many nights I have stayed sleepless thinking about rice. And again, he is thoughtful. He's not a dope. He is philosophical, and he has knowledge of law and strategy. So I think, you know, you think of him as a barbarian. I want to kind of undercut that notion a little bit, just in case James is coming with his point three with the kind of he's going to get outsmarted by Lion-O sort of attacked. One other thing I want to mention is all the variety of weapons that Conan can use. I kind of touched upon it earlier, but I really just want to take a brief moment and look into it, because he's defeated people with bows and arrows. He's fought with spears, swords, He's fought with rocks. He's fought with basically anything around him. So if it comes to be kind of an improvisational fight where both of their swordsmanships are so good, they're able to disarm each other. And this does come down to a fist versus fist kind of a matchup, which is actually where I think it's going to go. At the end of the day, Lion-O's going to keep attacking with his fists, and Conan is the kind of savvy, smart, improvisational fighter that he's going to be able to find something to use as a weapon around him, and he's going to Jason Bourne that deal, and he's going to take him out with a cup or a pencil or whatever the heck he has to find around him. The last thing I want to talk about is some of the fights, because no doubt Conan has fought, like I've said, he's fought monsters and wizards, but let's talk about characters you've heard of that he's fought in Marvel Comics, and I got two right here. He fought Captain America in an outright fist fight with no weapons, and he beat Captain America senseless. So Captain America, known as one of the top combatants, he's the one who trains all the other people in hand-to-hand combat, and Conan took him out in a no-weapons match. The other one I got to talk about is one of my favorite characters, Wolverine. He beat the Wolverine with a sword.
I mean, oh, sorry. Let me do that aside one more time. I forgot the rule. Oh, no.
Yeah. He beat Wolverine with a sword in a one-on-one encounter and was able to get over and win that matchup against a guy with a supreme healing factor. And, you know, we talk about Lion-O and why this is important is because Wolverine, known for not only his healing factor, but his animal abilities, his senses, his great sight, great smell, great hearing, as well as, of course, his retractable claws. None of that was enough to defeat Conan. Conan got over on him. Last thing I just want to mention right here is I had another like verse that I actually pulled verbatim, and it just kind of tells about what is a day of Conan's life about. So in one of the stories, he gets a dose of poison strong enough to take out two oxen in 2 seconds. Instead of getting knocked out, he feels a little bit sleepy, so he decides to go to bed. He wakes up, fights some pirates, takes a spear to the shoulder, and a fall in the ocean in the middle of that fight, he swims through freezing waters, gets out of the water, and kills a mastodon. Guys, the Conan stories are incredible. That's one story. Here's the deal. I'm just very impressed with this character. I'll be honest, coming into the matchup, I thought I knew more about him than I did. And I have come to have great respect for Conan. And I think he's going to win this battle. And that's my point, number three.
Yes, I too also had great respect for Conan after rewatching the two movies.
That you were then told don't count.
That's right.
Mistakes were made.
I've actually have to call in the judge for a possible veto of part of Ray's point number three.
Do tell.
Okay. So remember, the characters have to be, you know, of a certain continuity, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about the specific character themselves. Ray, the time that Conan beat Wolverine in a sword fight and also when he faced off against Captain America, didn't those two things happen in a what if battle?
Well, James, considering that you're the crossover king and you're the person who seems to think Batman versus Judge Dredd is completely legitimate, I'm going to go ahead and say it's fine. It is a good representation of the characters and Conan getting over. I think I'm using James Gavsey's own tricks against him in this particular case. Yes, it was one of those comics, but I don't think either anybody really acted out of character. Conan would absolutely beat both of those characters in both of those circumstances.
I'm going to have to agree with James on this case. What if is usually given to a random writer who may not understand the intricacies and little minutiae that make a character a character and are more forced upon an agenda of like, this would be neat to write.
So, the only thing I would say to that is to the above mentioned Judge Dredd versus Batman episode, James argued that because Judge Dredd one shot Batman and knocked him unconscious, that it was representative of literally anything. I don't even remember at this point the nonsense he was spilling in that battle. I would only say that in previous Who Would Win battles, these types of occasions, given grain of salt to them, but they are not completely stricken from the record. And Eve, I would ask you to do the same.
Fascinating. Is it a prerequisite for me to listen to every single podcast before coming on here and being a judge and being granted vetoes?
I assume everyone does that.
But we don't have to do that, do we, Ray?
No, but you have to take into account. It's like a law. This is law, Eve. You have to take into account prior.
I find that judge's logic faulty. I find it faulty.
I did too in the moment.
This is
interesting.
This is the greatness of Eve, by the way. This is okay. By the way, okay, you know what, Ray? Let's let those stand.
Are you overruling me, James?
No, but I'm thinking that maybe Ray is feeling some desperation here.
Here's what he's doing. He has his own crossover he wants to use in his point number three. So he wants to let this one happen so he can use his. I know James too well.
James, are you sure you want to withdraw your request for a veto?
I do.
Okay, granted.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I have a few other questions. You said these are very important points about Conan. Does Conan know basic tax laws of Thundera?
Of Thundera? I mean, here's the deal. Money is money. Taxes are taxes. It's possible that he could figure some stuff out, but would he know how much of a...
The tax rate that a Lord of the Thundercats would have to do? I mean, he's probably the top tier tax bracket. So the answer is no. Deal.
If I was going to have one of those two characters prepare my taxes, I would pick Conan, regardless of the universe it takes place in.
Huh, interesting. You may question that in a second. Okay, here's the other... Okay, let me just go to my point number three. All joking aside, I call this one power beyond power. And Ray, you've often used the term sandbagging in our debates where you hold back from using your big guns in a who would win battle. So I'll admit that's kind of what I've been doing this whole time. So as magnificent as Lionel is physically and as great as his weapons are, by the way, Eve, I actually withdraw my request to withdraw your overruling. So I'm just putting that out there. As magnificent as Lionel is physically and as great as weapons are, there's another reason why he would always win his battles in such impressive ways. And again, it's not because of the 80s, you know, trope of like the good guys have to win or the heroes have to win. See, the reason is it was all due to the Eye of Thundera, the super powerful mystical gem that was embedded in the hilt of the Sword of Omens. So the Eye of Thundera is the source of the Thundercats' power and is tied directly to their life force. And I guess it's traditionally passed to the current whomever is the Lord of the Thundercats, meaning it's Lionel. So the Eye of Thundera was directly activated and came to life in many episodes of the Thundercats and was their deus ex machina. I hope I pronounced that properly, by the way.
Shockingly, so yes.
Okay, but there's a first for everything. I look at this and my French mind takes over and I look at deus ex machina. You know,
you're French Canadian?
I am. Do not hold that against me.
It's a lot of points.
I've been like saying you're okay for a Canadian for like months now. Now I find this out.
Oh, this is not good. Yeah, I know. Sorry. I'll apologize in advance. So what can the Eye of Thundera do, right? It can summon the Thundercats, obviously. It has instant healing abilities. It warns of danger for the user as well as other Thundercats. It has dominion over other magic, as in magics, really. It can control technology. It can reverse other magical effects. It can create and control weather. It's fully sentient and can act on its own free will. It has limitless magical power and represents the entire magic of planet Thundera. It also grants increased super strength to Lionel's already existing super strength. And, you know, my favorite expression that you'd hear Lionel yell wasn't give me sight beyond sight. It was give me power beyond power. I loved it when he did that. I think it was like every once in a while. So what happens when he does that? When focus is power through the sword, the beam that gets shoot out, it's strong enough to hold an entire planet together when it's already in the process of exploding. Let's see. It's able to blast through the full thickness of the planet from its core to the surface in a matter of seconds. And the eye can also remove any sort of magic sorcery or hypnotic spell from a Thundercat. Look, if anyone can hurt Lionel in a fight, it's going to be Conan. I get it. But, you know, and Conan's, again, I agree. He's super smart. He's a master fighter and the barbarian of all barbarians. So if Conan starts damaging Lionel too much, the Eye of Thundera will kick in, come alive, heal Lionel, give him more power, shoot energy beams at Conan, or just fly out of Lionel's hands and start fighting Conan itself, just as it's done many times. In the end, Conan is bringing in all of his savagery, intelligence, and years of being a barbarian and master combatant into this battle. But as impressive as that is, it still doesn't hold up to the very powerful mystical gem that has limitless power and represents the life force of the entire race of the Thundercats. Never mind the fact Lionel's super powerful and he has the Sword of Omens and his claw shield. That's why Lionel beats Conan and wins his fight. That is my point number three.
Before anything else, you're going to regret not including the movies because Conan actually actively defeats Tulsa Doom as played by... The guy did Darth Vader. I'm sorry. My mind is in a million places right now.
Oh, David Prowse. Yeah.
No, Ray.
How dare you?
Hayden Christensen. I apologize.
I said Darth Vader. Hayden Christensen was never technically Darth Vader.
And the third one was, I don't know what we're talking about right now.
James Earl Jones.
Vader?
Thank you, James.
Oh, the guy from Coming to America.
He defeats James Earl Jones' magnetism at the very end of Conan the Barbarian using sheer force of will. That would be really good to use right now, Ray, don't you think? Don't
well,
you think?
Here's the deal. That character is based on the comic book character. So here's the deal. While I can't use that as a specific example, I have plenty of other examples of him being able to deal with characters like this in the past. And I've already put them on the record. Now, question I would have to ask is this magical gem that's fighting on its own. This kind of sounds a little bit like outside interference, doesn't it? Which is something that is not allowed in a who would win battle.
Interesting. Is it outside interference if Lion-O has a sword on him at all times?
Well, the fact that if he was using the sword, and that's great, but you said that the sword with the gem in it would basically have a mind of its own, leave Lion-O's hands and go and continue the fight on its own. If Lion-O's not controlling it, that by its nature has to be considered outside interference, unless I'm horribly mistaken here.
I'm going to make a question call. I seem to recall the sword calling out to Lion-O as a form of destiny. Is this correct?
Correct.
Then your argument does not make sense, Ray.
Thank you, James. Thank you. Your argument does not make sense. So my point here, continuing on, is yes, he's very, very fast. But my argument, and this is where it basically comes down to, is I think that at the end of the day, these two characters are going to disarm each other. And I think that it's going to come down to a fist fight. So I'm actually going to take the sword completely out of it anyway, because it's not going to be involved in this battle. Now, Conan is going to be able to get a grip on Lion-O. Now, Lion-O's going to be jumping around him, trying to get in his shots, his punches, his kicks, is what he does. Conan, who again fights all very, very fast animals, and grabs them, and he has a big grappling ability. He's going to be able to grab Lion-O. He's going to be able to kind of bend him into a pretzel like he was a pro wrestler. He's Arn Anderson up in here from the Four Horsemen in WCW. And he's going to be able to submit Lion-O. We have never in the history of a who would win battle decided that a battle ended on a tap out. However, I do believe that this is the one time that it could absolutely happen, is that when the weapons are taken out of play and we end up in a fisticuffs type matchup, the superior grappling ability of Conan, who again defeats animals, is going to be able to overcome Lion-O's hand-to-hand training. And while the Eye of the Thundera or whatever, if Lion-O's life was at risk, I 100% believe it would come and then all this hulking up would happen. But if all Conan has to do is choke him out, all Conan has to do is make him submit with an arm lock of some kind, that's a victory. That's a victory in who would win battle. And that's how I see Conan pulling this victory. Going counter to your Eye of Thundera, fantastic point, James. I'm actually going to give you credit for it. But I believe I have what's actually going to happen and is more likely to happen right there. I've said what I had to say.
Here's the deal. I do think Conan could put a submission hold on Lion-O. I think Lion-O is so powerful he could just break out of it. But if he couldn't, let's say Arn Anderson's fighting Hulk Hogan, right? And let's say it's like, you know, late 80s or whatever. What happens whenever Hulk Hogan gets put into a submission in the late 80s?
Well, he starts to get out of it.
Yeah, he starts to get Hulkicized, right? And how does he get Hulkicized? Well, Lion-O would say, Eye of Thundera, you know, give me power beyond power. I mean, it's something he says. It's in his repertoire. He says it, Ray. Then all of a sudden, he calls on it. The Eye of Thundera floats in the air, whatever it does, the sword does. And then he gets Hulkicized beyond belief, breaks out of submission, leg drop, 1, 2, 3, Hulkamania runs wild. That's really where we're at. Eve, you've got to kind of settle this.
He's not going to be able to do that if Conan's got him in a chokehold and he cannot expel air from his lungs. That's all I'm going to say about that.
He can survive the vacuum of space. So, Eve, you've heard both sides of the story. You've heard points from Ray. You've heard points from me. You've heard the tax ability of Conan. You've heard the submission defense of Lion-O. Who do you think wins this battle? Take us through your process. You tell us right now who you, Eve, see as the victor of this fight.
All right. I just got to go over a few points. And that is, number one, not discount that tax detail. That is a hot detail for me. Most of all, this comes down to caveman versus astronaut. This is why I pressed upon the idea of, can Conan deal with space so much? And who does win in a battle of caveman versus astronauts? Buffy covered this and they said the astronauts always win, but I say in this case, due to Conan's well-roundedness, including his tax knowledge, his knowledge of tax law, and, you know, etc., XYZ, Conan is the winner.
I'm honestly stunned right now.
Wow.
I threw in the tax line as a little bit of a throwaway to talk about intelligence. I didn't think it was going to win the battle.
Oh, who did you think was judging, Ray?
Eve, you're always full of surprises.
Thank you, sir.
I'm good with the decision.
Bam.
Okay. Interesting. Ray, what's your take on this?
I thought I was in trouble. This is one of the few times, James, where I thought coming into this battle that I was definitively an underdog, and clearly am great. I'm great at what I do. I'm great at arguing. I'm great at having great characters, and I'm great at being great.
By the way, Conan is actually able to defeat people at a much higher weight class. I absolutely agree with that. He does not have something like an Eye of Thundera. He's not coming into this with magic. I completely disagree with your judgment, Eve, but because I respect you and your research, I really can't say much about it. I'm just going to have to say you're still one of my favorite judges.
That's very nice of you, James. It's just basically when I come down to it, I can't vote against such a savage playboy with so much knowledge and respect for women versus a 12-year-old cat in a man's body in charge of all the power in the world. It just doesn't go well for me.
That's a fair point. And, you know, in the Conan the Adventurer animated series that came out, well, when we watched it on Knowing Is Half the Podcast, I will say we were shocked at how progressive with women the Conan character was. He was so wildly respectful of boundaries and what have you. So, Eve, you hit that one. You hit that point out of the park.
Now I'm definitely going to have to watch this to see if this is true.
It's shockingly true. Shockingly.
Shockingly, I got, speaking of shockingly, I'm still playing through this in my head. I don't, you know what? I just got to go with the decision. Okay. I really can't wait to see what the fans have to say about this. This one's going to be really interesting. I know they'll also be entertained. Eve, please. This is a great fight. Great matchup. I was highly entertained from the moment you were on the show. Please come back. And again, tell everyone where they can find you.
I will absolutely be back anytime you guys ask me. Right now, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/nightchurch. Every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, I host a show for kids who are 18 and up. Is that you? Probably. I show old cartoons, old commercials, and I provide live commentary. We recently did Josie and the Pussycats in Outer Space with Phyllis Schlafly.
Wow.
You know, Phyllis Schlafly.
Okay, it just sounds fantastic. And what about your social media handles? Where can people find you on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Guys, for everything, it's just Eve Esquire, the way it sounds. No dashes, no dots, no weird stuff. Just Eve Esquire. I'm on it.
I love it. Ray, congratulations on another, I'm using air quotes, well-earned victory.
I'll be honest, I deserve this one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's right. And you know what's great? I love both characters. So it's like, you know, the fans win.
At the end of the day, before we even started point number one, I was 7 points in the hole. So you got to see, that's how great my arguments were, James. I was able to overcome so much.
And that's how poor your math is, because you were much further down than that.
Thank you.
Wow. I think it was Conan's knowledge of tax law that brought Ray back. I still don't know how to put my head around that.
It's those details.
Details. Ray, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can hit me up online at Almighty Ray on Twitter. Of course, listen to Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the G.I. Joe recap show. We also talk about, you know, cartoons of the 80s, 90s. We've been expanding a little bit. We just did an episode of Super President, one of the worst cartoons of the 60s. We did 3 of the mini episodes of that for the show. So, guys, there's a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of good cartoons, and we are in the second season of Deke. The Deke era of 90s G.I. Joe, and it is not very good. So we are having a good time being punished by that.
I remember watching the first episode of the 90s G.I. Joe series, all excited, thinking it would be like, you know, just as magnificent as the original 80s series, the Sunbow series. And it took half an hour for everything to be wrong in my life.
Yeah, it goes sideways real quick.
Yeah,
I think this only worked for Beast Wars with Transformers for some reason. I remember a lot of people being very, very passionate about it.
They are. Yeah. We watched that and it wasn't very good at all. So I don't know what's happening. People tell us we only watched the one bad episode, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, guys, you can find me posing my patented question of the day on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. And check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our past podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Ray Sicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.